What's up, y'all? My name is Ian Edwards. You can get at me on Twitter at Ian Edwards Comic. This is a soccer comic rant, and you can get this podcast at allthingscomedy.com, World Football Daily, SoundCloud, and iTunes. And I'm here with my co-host and Polish Spurs man.
Yes, sir.
Martin. Spurs Harris, what up, Martin?
Yes, we're on the same boat in terms of points.
We're in the same boat, yeah.
In terms of points this week. However,
but our point is better than your point. Way better.
We'll get there.
It's a quality 1 point. You should have had a win.
We'll get there. The game.
We'll get there. We're talking now.
It's a lot of layers. I'm actually pretty happy with the point, but
because you got it in the last 2 minutes of the game. So you should be.
In the game, we clearly dominated. But I expected a draw.
You told me how lucky Arsenal's been, and then all of a sudden, guess who's been getting lucky?
Spurs. No, it's not lucky. With them, we'll get to the Spurs game because there's a lot of to talk about. But let's talk about the most boring football classic in England this season. I'm glad I'm awake.
You want to go back 2 weeks and talk about a Spurs game? Is that what you're doing?
but I'm glad I'm back awake. But because I was falling asleep this afternoon. However, listen, props to Man U.
What game are you talking about?
You played up to your strengths, and you got the point. That's good. It's congratulations. I'm being honest. Congratulations. It's a good point.
Let me do this in English.
Well,
first game I guess Martin wants to talk about without telling y'all is the Man U versus Liverpool game.
Yes.
Red Monday.
Yeah.
Red
the boring one, yes.
The Red Monday match. So he's claiming that it's boring.
Not just me.
And who cares, you know? That's what I said. Who cares? Like, listen, we went to Anfield against a really hot, probably the hottest team in the league. Yes. Yeah.
Probably
the hottest
team. Arsenal is technically, but yeah, okay.
The hottest team in the league. Arsenal is now because they beat. You guys just came off. I mean, Liverpool's been slaughtering people, and Arsenal is one of the teams that they slaughtered. So we could say that. So we go there and we completely mute them. We take them out of their game, and we shut down their offense except for a few really good moments that they had. And even though I've never seen a game where a team had only like 33 to 34% possession of a game of the ball, but it looked like they had it more. I've never seen something like that. Like normally when it's blatantly lopsided possession-wise, you could tell that you've been dominated. They didn't even dominate us and they had the ball. Like they because they couldn't do what they wanted to do. And I think that's beautiful as far as good coaching, good game plan, players listening and executing. And then Mourinho did something that I've been crying for. And I told you for weeks.
I agree.
Play Fellaini and play Herrera and push Pogba forward. Mata would be in danger. But at least we have a quality person coming off the bench. And I've been crying for weeks. And maybe it's only just been 2 weeks, so I ain't going to say. No, I've been crying for probably longer. You know, and that worked out. The only thing with Pogba is he's still tentative, he's still nervous, and he had some moments, but he still delivered
a fantastic pass to Ibrahimovic, which Ibrahimovic should have done better.
He should have put that on goal.
The old Ibrahimovic, like 5 years younger, and we'll get to him aging a little bit because he's 35, and he shows it a little bit in recent games. I think the old Ibrahimovic would put it into the net, yes.
Yeah, he should have just headed it towards the goal and then hope for a ricochet and then probably get the. I don't know, you know, we in the game plan. The game plan wasn't for a lot of Man U players to advance and help you with short crosses in front of the goal. So you put that on goal. So you know, I think Ibrahimovic had a decent game. Herrera had a monster fucking game. And Fellaini played good again. Like Mourinho had a quote. He plays Fellaini because you tell Fellaini he wants what to do and he does it. That's why he plays him. A lot of players you have to tell over and over again. He played Young. I never agree with playing Young. But Young did his job. So I got to give him props for doing his job. Rashford, you know, like this is, he's decent, but that's why I don't always want to start Rashford because he's a player that you have high expectations for. You always expect a lot from him. So sometimes there's moments in the game where mentally his attitude towards the game, like when he loses the ball, isn't 100%, but we didn't pay for any of his mistakes today. The referee, The referee was a perfect type of ref for the way Man U played, because we probably could have gotten more cards, you know what I mean, because we had more fouls. So the way he reffed the game played more into Man U's hands, so I'll say that. And what can I say about De Gea? Probably one of the greatest saves I've ever seen in my life.
The Coutinho's one.
Like straight across the goal, covering that. First of all, Coutinho scores. That's the goal Coutinho scores. Yeah. That's the goal he scores. And positioning-wise and just outstretch-wise, like, he saved that. Like, that was up there. Like, there was another, like, besides Stecklenburg's two penalty saves weren't even that good. Some other goalkeeper made a great save late this weekend. I can't remember. It was like a Gordon
Banks. The West Brom goalkeeper was phenomenal.
He
was phenomenal in this game. He kept doing the game.
You know about that goalkeeper.
No, he was phenomenal. That was a fantastic performance.
You became very familiar with that goalkeeper this week.
But let me tell you this. My go input, ahead. First of all, it was a good old Mourinho from Chelsea. He parked the bus, but he did it intelligently.
It wasn't a classic park the bus. It was an attacking bus, an attacking defensive bus, like they
counter-attacking bus, yeah, but a bus, but say it was a bus, yeah.
But it wasn't like parking a bus is like 11 guys in front of the goal.
Nine guys were behind the ball.
This was like no matter where you have the ball on the field, we're there. So we took the ball from them in their half. We took the ball from them in the middle of the field. We took the ball from them in our half. In our the last third of the field, like it wasn't a classic park the bus, because like I said, possession wise, it didn't look like we only had the ball 30-something% of the time. You gotta give that up. You gotta be honest about it.
Here's one thing. You know, a couple of points. Point number one, it reminded me of a game Mourinho played in his second spell, first season with Chelsea, where he didn't win the title. They won at City, I think, and they just perfectly put a defensive plan, stopped their best points, stopped their most dangerous players, and executed one counter attack. And I think Matic scored a goal. That was, I think so. Yeah, 1-0 at Man City. That was kind of the game they won, and it was probably their most impressive win at the time. And I think it kind of reminded me that Mourinho is a very good strategist. If he wants to, he's very good in taking strengths away from you, and he took the strengths away from Klopp because they play this kind of freestyle attacking football, a lot of passing on the other half, a lot of speed, a lot of pace.
If you let them.
So yeah, if you let them. So he showed kind of a recipe how to stop Liverpool. And I think the other teams will try to get something out of it.
Because you're welcome, Martin.
Yeah, no, I mean, we already played them, but the other teams...
What happened when you played them?
Huh?
What happened when you played them? You barely tied.
We tied, you know, we tied. I mean, listen, you know, we tied.
And they pounded you all evening. And then
they scored the goal from penalty, and after we scored the equalizer, we had an advantage last 10 minutes of the game. But sure, you know, they were better that day. They were way better. Today they were better too. You know, overall they were better. I mean, they had more chances.
They had two shots to save.
Firmino should have done better when he had a chance. He should have been faster to that ball. Coutinho and then Chan. It was a good save from De Gea as well. But let me say a couple of points, and then you can come on that. So first of all, great defensive plan, four players in the back and four players helping the four defenders. There were four players in front of four players. They were playing like two defensive lines, and it was very hard.
It's called 4-4-2.
No, but the other four were not really attacking. The other four were also playing destructive type of football, you know. They were mainly defending, you know. So they were reduced to basically two offensive players in the entire game. But they were able to switch. Sometimes Herrera was everywhere. I think Fellini makes Herrera look better. I'm still not sure he should play every game, because I think Fellini, I think they should use him for that type of defensive football when they have to be on the defensive side, but when they have to attack and when they play those teams they have to beat, like Watford, like Stoke, I think they should play Mata instead of Fellini, you know, because they lack a little bit of quality offensively with Fellini and Herrera and all those other guys, you know.
But
so
Herrera made good passes forward when
I'll keep Herrera. I just think Fellini shouldn't play the games where they're clearly the favorite of the game. He should play the games when they need to play more defensive style of football. Then it works perfectly. But when you have to be a little bit more creative against teams like Sunderland, like against teams like, you know, Watford, teams like...
You said Sunderland?
Yeah, teams like that. You know, you rather play more offensive lineup. That's what I'm trying to say. This is the perfect lineup they play today. Perfect lineup when you play away
at City, at Tottenham, at Arsenal.
What did you
think of the lineup before the game?
No, I mean... Before I agree 100% with this lineup for this particular game.
Even Young before the game.
Young is questionable, yeah. But I guess, you know...
That was my only question before the game. Why Young?
Young, yeah. You're right.
But it worked out.
It worked out, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not going to give you anything, like an extra spark, but he'll do a solid job, you know? Like, he's not going to be the man of the match, but he will not be the worst player. Like I think it was a speed thing. Yeah, and he's like he works hard on the pitch. You know,
yeah,
that helps
hard.
Too. Like I read a very actually I wanted to talk about it even when I read it like a couple of days ago. Great theory in 442. There was an article, two pages in the last issue of 442. By the way, I'll give you this after so you can read it after the podcast.
What language is it in?
English, of course.
Okay.
But there's a very very good article that. The recent results in the last couple of years prove that the strength of your team is not who is your best player, but who is your worst player. You know, like that the team mainly plays up to the level of their worst players. It's all about how vulnerable you are with your worst players. Where are the areas you can be explored? And for example, it was even more like the theories. It was even more important for Leicester last year that Albrighton, as technically the worst player in the starting 11, was doing his job good enough for them to still be at a decent level. Like that, it's even more important, you know, to have balanced team.
I like Albrighton though.
Yeah,
I think he has qualities.
Yeah, but technically he was least talented from the entire lineup. You know, like the other guys were having more advantages, but you know you have to keep the balance. You know, and I still see some holes in that Man U team. They will try to address probably in the transfer market.
Yeah.
There are huge speculations last couple of days that there are talks right now happening between United and Atletico Madrid about Griezmann. So that would change a lot if they can get this guy because he could play behind Ibrahimovic. He could be at
number
10.
We got more than holes. We got tunnels. We got we have caves.
Okay.
In
well, then you mask them well enough today. I can tell you that. Then you mask those holes well enough today.
But Liverpool is not that good either. They're getting good, but they're not that good either. Like Liverpool is good as a whole unit right now, as an entire unit. They're good right now. Like Klopp has them all on the same page. But how many of those players individually would you say, I want to buy that guy because that guy could improve my team?
Coutinho,
right? And still, sometimes he struggles. Like, he struggled today, you know?
He could have won the game anyway. But you know, the funny thing is Neymar said it. Neymar said it, you know, that there if there's one guy he would like to buy to Barca, it's Coutinho. He said it, you know, publicly last week.
He'd fit in there finesse-wise, but I don't know hustle-wise if Coutinho's is a great hustler.
Yeah, he's a finesse player, that's true. Yeah. But let me tell you this about Liverpool. There's one guy, we talked about him a lot during the international break, and he frustrated me again today. I think he was the worst player on
the
pitch. Sturridge, man.
Told you he don't got it.
I don't know why he played him, because he stopped playing him. The games they were at their best, he didn't play Sturridge.
I know.
So it was surprising that Klopp actually used Sturridge in this game.
Klopp fucked up today. He played Sturridge as if Sturridge did something during international week that we didn't see.
Yeah.
Like, did Sturridge score like 9 goals international week? So why did he take... Well, who did he take out? Lallana.
Well, Lallana, because he was injured for 2 weeks, maybe he felt he doesn't have pace for the entire game. I don't know.
All right, maybe. So all right, that's reasonable. But it's still not Sturridge's fault. Like, we didn't let him get fed. And Bailly is a very athletic centre-back.
He had a great game, yeah.
Who anticipates anything. Like, he gives most forwards trouble. So are we, like, killing Sturridge? Like, Sturridge didn't... Like, Sturridge is mentally... He has the physical ability, but mentally, he's not... His attacking IQ is not always there. It's not high.
Not at all. So, not at all. Makes bad decisions. He only had 12 touches in first half, which was the lowest number after the goalkeeper on Liverpool end. And if that's your leading striker, that's very, very bad.
But sometimes I've seen games where strikers... I remember, like, the Community Shield. I think Ibrahimovic had one good touch, and it scored.
Yeah, but, you know, Community Shield is the type of the game that you don't really...
No, that's not true. People could score 100%. During the Community Shield.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, and plus he was... It's kind of like a debut for Man U after preseason, so he wanted to show up. It's just, listen, man, Sturridge, regardless, he don't got it.
Yeah, the best strikers, what they do, if they don't get passes, they just try to play from a little from the deep, you know. They just try to get some touches to be in
that.
The rhythm.
He did that. He came back.
He kind of tried, but he wasn't effective with it. He couldn't really hold on to the ball.
But how effective was the entire Liverpool?
I think there were a couple of players that stood out. I think Milner was very, very solid. I think he was playing very smart brand of football. I think Firmino tried to break through,
right,
but it was just very difficult for him because the defensive formation was fantastic.
I think we're looking at the play right now. This is Firmino, mm-hmm. and this guy, this fucking guy, Valencia.
Valencia's pretty very good here today.
Two games great during tackle. International week, and... is 90 years old and caught up with a 20-year-old and tackled him, game-clinching tackle. Almost as good as De Gea saved. This fucking man.
If he didn't tackle, probably Firmino would have scored.
Yeah.
Probably he would have scored because that was such a clean chance.
And perfect tackle. Mm-hmm. Perfect place, perfect timing. God bless him. Valencia did your fucking thing, man.
It was definitely defender's game because there were at least four defenders that were outstanding in this game. I would say two on both sides. Matip, since they brought Matip into the starting lineup, defensive formation from Liverpool looks much, much better.
It's their first clean sheet.
It's their first clean sheet, but like they were conceding 2-3 goals per game. Then they brought Matip in and they started to play much, much better.
Now they didn't concede any.
Yeah,
they didn't win either.
Yeah, it's not like there were that many chances for Man U. The plan was very defensive, and they got what they came for. But so Matip, I think Klein was very, very good. He was overlapping a lot and creating some mismatches. I think he was very good. Probably the best player on Liverpool, in my opinion, was Klein. Mm-hmm. And then Bailey, again, he proved that this guy has a huge potential to be like the next Rio Ferdinand, probably for the next 10 years for Man U. This guy is really, really strong, and he doesn't make mistakes. So Bailey and Valencia, for me, those two were really outstanding.
And this is something that I don't understand. So the starting lineup, the captain for our team is Smalling. Now you have a captain that I like. You know, he had a great season last year and a season before, but you don't play him a lot. You don't even start him when he's healthy. So how is he the captain now? So like, there's things where Mourinho could do to make certain things more consistent,
mm-hmm.
you know what I'm saying? Like, it didn't even feel like a real captain if you don't play him sometimes. Like, there's times when he's on the bench and Blind and Bailey's out there. So it's like...
I would make Pogba a captain. I would make Pogba a captain for one specific reason. I remember when Robert Lewandowski was not scoring goals for Poland for like 3-4 years, he was really, really highly criticized.
Like now?
No. Now he scored 5 goals in 2 games. But
qualifiers.
He scored already 40 goals, and he scored in every qualifying game, last 10 games.
Let me answer a question. Was he captain during the Euros?
Yeah, but that's not the point. He scored a goal against Portugal. But my point is,
that's since the game they got knocked out of the tournament, right?
Yeah, but listen, it was a good tournament. He was the captain. It's all good. But what I'm trying to say is that Błaszczykowski was the captain. Lewandowski kind of was struggling with national team. But then the coach made a move and decided to make Lewandowski the captain. Since he was nominated a captain, he started playing much, much better. So maybe Pogba is the type of player that you kind of have to give him some extra confidence, you know, and he needs to feel.
He does need confidence.
So maybe make him a captain. That will help. Who knows? Maybe that's what he needs. You know, maybe he's an ego guy, and that will help.
But Mourinho, the reason why when you asked me last week who do I think is going to win, I think I said Liverpool because I didn't think Mourinho,
or draw. You said
or draw.
Yeah, I said draw. Yeah,
I was fighting mm-hmm. in between there. But
yeah.
it's because I want anybody who has a Pogba has to play him in the position of his instinct in order to get the most out of it. So now they're starting to do that. So I would keep this Fellaini Herrera thing against the next team we play and see what happens.
No, well, the next team you play, you need to, because you have to play defense with Chelsea away, so obviously.
And it's Chelsea, that's a big...
Yeah, and you have Costa, so you have to play Fellaini.
We've played... This week coming up is what, week 9?
Well, you didn't play the best team in the league.
We played Man City. We played Liverpool. We got Chelsea coming up.
And Spurs. And
some dudes that can't beat West Brom at some point.
All right.
Yeah. Some dudes that can beat West Brom.
All
right.
But you have them at Old Trafford when we should win. Yeah. But that's okay. Here is the thing. One critic I have.
You couldn't beat us last year when you came third in the league and you were better last
year. I mean, we won 3-0 at home. But let me tell
you. But you're coming to Old Trafford.
Yeah.
Okay. Right.
We were unlucky. We were better in this game. I remember that game very well. But we scored an own goal. Walker scored an own goal. Nice. But this is
your best player.
The only worry I would one of the best players right now. Playing much better than last season, as a matter of fact. We'll get to the Spurs, but let me tell you this. What do you think? I'll ask you two things. What do you think about Rooney's performance? And what do you think? Are you a little bit worried about Ibrahimovic? Do you start getting worried about Ibrahimovic and if he's past his prime clearly or not?
Well, I already told you when you told me, hey, you're getting the Ibrahimovic like in midseason. I said, that's not good enough. So am I worried about something that I already knew might be an issue? Nah. He has a great touch out there, you know? And the game before this, we played who? Who did we play?
Stoke.
And he played great against Stoke.
Ah, great. Didn't score a goal. Yeah.
He didn't score, but he played great against Stoke. Like, his movement was great. So, no, I don't always panic when a forward doesn't score a goal. I panic when the forward is Bonnie and he's not even making good passes to teammates next to him.
It's a difference.
Of course it's a difference. You don't have to say that.
Yeah.
The point is, I'm not worried about him. He's not stinking the joint up, you know? He's not stinking the joint up.
Okay. What about Rooney? Did you like him?
He didn't play.
As a substitute?
It wasn't a big enough sample size, but he didn't. But in the small amount of time that he played better than he played for England, than he played for Man U. The last few times he played for Man U, it's just amazing to see the first sub is Rooney. It's just so amazing. Like, so Mourinho wasn't bullshitting. He really liked Rooney. I thought he was trying to get rid of him, but he really likes Rooney. He really believes in Rooney. But the only position for Rooney is the position Ibrahimovic is in. And it's like, if you're going to sub in Rooney, you got to take Ibrahimovic out. Like, sub one old forward for the other. That's like, that's because the only quality he has left is probably is in front of the goal. And the only way to find out that out is to put him in front of the goal.
Nah.
Like, he's not a right wing. You know what I mean? And then they probably sent him in the game with the game plan of everybody else to defend. So, like you're not going to see attacking Rooney when it's time to, like, lock the game down and go home with the point because we're so deep in the time, it'd be dumb. So it's like, it's a tough question to ask when it's not even an appropriate question.
Yeah, I'm like you're probably more positive about Ibrahimovic than I am. I see some signs that are really...
But you're never positive about anything... Man U. So
I just said like about 10
here?
Things that were positive already. I said like, 10 things. Bailey is fantastic. I love Rashford.
How many goals does Kane have?
Yeah, but Kane is injured right now.
He just got injured.
He's injured for a month.
First of all, he didn't play last week. It was international week. He got injured the week before.
No, so 2 weeks before.
So 2 weeks, including international week. So he's
3 weeks now.
How many goals does he have? It's like, I'm going to worry about Ibrahimovic.
Listen, Kane will be fine. Kane will be fine. But I'm worried because not even about goals. I mean, he scored some goals because he's got great instincts. I'm worried about I don't see the spark he usually had in the games that matter most. I mean, he scored goals against weaker opposition. I mean, he scored against Man City after a huge mistake from the goalkeeper. But
he was there.
But he also missed a couple of chances in this game. And that's where the situation he didn't score today, he usually scored in the past. I mean, that's the one sign of worry that he might not have it against the best opposition in the league. You know, when the top four is on the line or top three is on the line, you know, that he might not have it at some point.
I'll tell you what he doesn't have. He doesn't have a PSG behind him. You know, listen, Ibrahimovic is great. And most players are great when they have great teammates who are calm and relaxed and attacking. And this wasn't the type of a game for a lot of scoring based on our game plan. This wasn't the type. So why should I be shocked that Ibrahimovic or any Man U player didn't score today, number one? Like, we could have gotten one, and that's what we were set up for, to get one and then defend. And so I'm not going to be. And then the last game before international, we played good, and he could have scored. So, and he was active. So I'm not gonna worry about him, dude.
The fact is, though, everybody's saying that Rooney is old, and Rooney is 31 years old. Ibrahimovic is 35.
But who would you rather start, Ibrahimovic or Rooney?
Ibrahimovic.
Exactly. So what do you want to do? What's your point?
Well, there's no perfect way out of it, let me tell you this.
No, Griezmann is
you
the
can maybe Griezmann. You can play Rashford, but it's not going to happen.
Griezmann is the way. What are you talking about?
Yeah, but Griezmann is a different type of a player. He'll play behind your main striker. He'll be more like the number 10 guy.
I'm not mad at Griezmann and Ibrahimovic. I'm sure some magic will happen.
All right.
Yeah.
And another 100 mil, probably.
You know how much we make? You know how many jerseys we're going to make off that?
All right.
Yeah, dirty jerseys will pay for half of that. Come on. No, you got to know something about economics.
All right. We talked about one team from Manchester. The other one is dropping points.
Well, let's go down the list. We got Chelsea versus Leicester. That was the first game on Saturday morning. And Chelsea sliced through Leicester.
Again.
It was as if they were made for them. It's like Chelsea's nickname is knife, and Leicester's nickname is piece of bread, and Chelsea just cut through and buttered them up at the same time.
Yeah, listen, if I'm a Leicester fan, a little bit worried. They lost 1-4 to Liverpool and United. They lost 3-0 to Chelsea now, and they are not playing well at all. And they lost to Hull in the first game of the season. So they already lost 4 games, and they're not playing well at all. And then Ranieri gave a bizarre interview after the game saying that they are more focused on Champions League than Premier League. They're not giving their best in Premier League, and Champions League is more important for them, which is really weird to say. I don't think the fans would appreciate that.
Why would you think the fans wouldn't appreciate it?
Why would like that's not how English how fans could you speak, feel about but you, Premier League.
But here's where you're wrong. Here's where you're jumping the boat. Mm-hmm. Leicester is an anomaly. It won the league last year.
Yeah.
Do you think those Leicester fans? You're talking about Leicester as if they're Chelsea or Man U or Arsenal, where they have an expectation year after year to win the league. No, they know they won something that is bananas, and that's not going to happen again. I don't think they're sitting there going, "Man, I hope we win the league again."
The last anomaly, and actually I listened to Alan Shearer on Match of the Day because he was part of the team. The last anomaly that won the league was Blackburn Rovers 1995.
Right. They sold everybody.
And they sold their main players next year. Yeah. Leicester didn't sell players. They bought players. They spent money on players to stay competitive. Yeah, not to win the title, maybe,
right,
but to stay competitive. Stay top 5, top 6. Doesn't look even close to that.
Where are they now?
Oh, they're closer to the bottom than the top right now.
No. Well, tell them, give me some. And don't just say that.
I think they're like 12th, 13th. I think that's where they are.
I'll tell you where they are. They are 13th.
Yeah, you see.
But it's early in the season. They can come back.
Yeah, but they're not playing well. They're losing big time.
They're conceding a lot of goals.
Vardy is a shadow of himself. By the way, it's kind of he said last week, which created a lot of headlines. He said that during the season they won the championship, his diet was he was always drinking a bottle of wine before going to sleep to calm down, and he was drinking 3 Red Bulls after breakfast the next day. To wake up.
So he's not doing that now?
Either he's not doing that now or he's overdoing that. I don't know. But he said that was his style last year during the season. So I don't know how long you can keep going like that. I mean, that's pretty hardcore if you're 29 years old. I don't know.
Some health nut told him to stop doing that and he's fucking up?
I don't know if he said that. If he suggested that he stopped doing it, it kind of sounds like that. But he said that's what he did. You know, it doesn't mean that he's not doing that. It sounds like he's not doing that again.
Well, did is a past tense word.
Yeah, I mean, he said that he was doing that, but it was in reflection to the last season that's what he was doing.
I mean, listen, man.
So maybe he stopped, yeah, and then we see different Vardy because he's terrible this year. It's terrible. He wasn't even called up by Southgate to the English team.
I got issues with Southgate anyway.
Mm.
I hope he's still taking that nice nap that he wanted to take after that interview.
So Mahrez is not the same player.
Mahrez is definitely not the same player, right? Mahrez is definitely not the same player. Ranieri is tinkering a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's tinkering a little bit. I think this is just a patch that they have to kind of ride out. Like, who did they lose to? They lost to Chelsea. Who else they lost? They lost to Man U. Who else did they lose to?
Liverpool.
Hull. Hull is the only accident.
And Chelsea again in the cup.
I'm not gonna count the cup. We talking Premier League. You talking Premier League? Don't drag the cup in here. So you lost to three quality teams, and when I say quality, I'm throwing Man U in there. But Man U is right. Shit that they need to fix. So it's a questionable third quality. Mm-hmm. So
and Hull, which is embarrassing.
And Hull surprised some people at the beginning of the season, and new teams, newly promoted teams sometimes do that. So it was the first game, you got the hangover. You caught the right team at the right time. So am I going to panic about Leicester? Nah, they could still finish in the top 10 easily.
Yeah, they can. I mean, so, I don't think it will be a great achievement to finish 10th. You know, if they finish 6th, sure.
Fine. The 10 is fine. It's Leicester. They almost got relegated 2 years ago.
Okay, so what if they lose a couple of more games and they're in the relegation zone?
But all your what ifs are bad. What if they go far in Champions League? They're doing fine in it.
And get relegated?
They're not going to get relegated. Come on. Leicester's not getting relegated.
We'll see. They're not playing well at all. I mean, they're really pretty bad.
They played Chelsea.
Even against United, they looked terrible against United. You know, they looked terrible against Liverpool. They looked really bad against Chelsea.
How many teams have looked great against Liverpool? We didn't even look great against them, and we got a point. You didn't look great, and you got a point.
Yeah. But what I'm trying to say, you know, let's see how they play the other teams, you know, because right now they're not doing well. You know, let's see if they can at least beat those teams in the second half of the table. Yeah. Let's see if they can do that.
I think they'll do that. I think they'll do that. It's just that there's pressure that they didn't feel last year. And people want to beat them more than they ever wanted to beat them before.
Because they're vulnerable. Their defensive formation is not good without Kanté. I mean, you could see the difference, especially having Kanté on the other side. Actually, Kanté was one of the best players on the pitch.
He was.
And he almost even scored a goal.
Yeah, he was amazing.
That came on the top of speculation that he's not happy at Chelsea and he wants to leave and that he wants to go to play for Real Madrid, most likely, or Juventus.
Oh, yeah. Why is he not happy at Chelsea?
Something is wrong at Chelsea, which
he
we don't
happy
know.
During the interview.
There's something going on in the locker room. This locker room is not a bunch of happy people. You know, there are issues in the locker room. You know, we don't fully know what it is, but there are some issues in the locker room.
It's got to be defensively, I tell you that.
Yeah.
Because
a lot of players seem to be not happy. Fabregas wants out, and a lot of other players don't seem really happy.
Well, if you're on international duty and then you hear they offered you to another team for 50 mil and another player, yeah, you might not be happy.
So yeah, but I think he wants to leave himself, you know. And Juventus want him anyway, and a couple of other teams tried to get him. He's like a hot property. I think he will go this winter. I think he will actually go. But even Hazard is on and off, you know. He was on in this game, but he was off two games before, and let's see what he'll play against United, you know, if he'll play well against United.
Let's hope he'll be off. Pedro started. Him and Pedro kind of accidentally combined for a goal. I mean, Pedro was looking for him anyway. It's just that Hazard took a run towards Pedro diagonally, and the ball hit him, and it landed right for him. And Hazard can finish greatly, and he finished greatly. I want to give a shout out to Matic. Matic had a really good game, like that back heel off that cross to Costa. That was responsible for the first goal. Costa had a great game. And then what was Costa's issue with Costa wanted to come out of the game because he had a yellow and the coach didn't want to take him out?
Yeah, there was a little bit of a mix-up. But listen, at least Costa is consistent. He's actually the best striker so far.
In the league, yeah.
In the league, yeah.
Yeah, he's back. So he's back. He's happy.
He's even more than back. I think he plays his best football at Chelsea. In his third season, he plays his best football for Chelsea. I think he plays better than in the season they won the title. He plays actually individually. He plays better.
I think he played great the season they won the title, but then Mourinho told us to pull the whole team back in the second half of the season.
Yes.
So he could have even did more. But he's definitely having a really good season. And he's alive out there. Definitely alive out there. And Leicester, it's funny, man. It's tough to tell what's wrong with teams. I can't put my finger on this 100% of what's wrong with Leicester. I don't know why they're not putting out. I don't know. I know people have figured them out and watched them most of their more tapes of Leicester by other teams have been watched than in previous years, and their surprise was Vardy Mahrez. And
plus the discipline, you know, they had discipline. They play right now. They try to play open football, and they're not good enough to do that. So they were like disciplined. They almost never had more possession of the ball than their opponents last season.
It's tough to be called champs and then sit back and park the bus, you know.
Yeah, but it's not even park the bus. Like they were playing counter-attacking football last season. They're mostly defensively solid. Right now they try to play an open game. They try to play like passing game. They try to be open. They try to play attractive football. They're just not made for it.
So fine, they might just make a readjustment and go back to last year. Yeah. And then it'll be as simple as that.
And they should.
So they
brought this guy Mendy who is not even playing. And
he's injured, but he's good when I saw him play. And that's the thing. He's a good replacement for Conte.
It's about to... We'll see.
Conte was amazing, man.
Yeah,
almost scored, like you said, and he was all over the field. And he's end-to-end, and his passes are great. He made one bad pass I saw that game, and that's a lot of passes.
Listen, I know one thing about Leicester. They're good punching back if you need to get your confidence back, because United got them 4-1 when they were after three defeats. Chelsea was criticized. Actually, the bookies were in the poll who will get fired. Conte was very high on the list, you know, when you could take a bet that Conte was at some point number one to be fired, which he laughed off during the conference
I would have laughed that off, too. It's not that he was going to be fired, but he was definitely in trouble. Like, good coaches deliver at the moments when they're supposed to deliver. And he's a good coach. He's like, all right, we need to get some wins. Because, like, when Mourinho was having his bad week, the week after, he fixed it, you know? And that's what Conte did, you know. He fixed it. So it's like you're not gonna get. They wasn't gonna fire Mourinho that soon, and they wasn't gonna fire Conte that soon. Bookmakers just do shit.
Yeah.
The gamblers.
Yeah.
They try to get people to gamble. Don't listen. Don't take no bookmaker advice.
Of course not. But the thing is, it's good to play Leicester when you're a little bit of trouble. You need a little bit of confidence. The truth testament, what they are, and if they're for real, will be the United game next week, and that will show us if Chelsea are the contender or they're a pretender.
I don't know.
They have to beat Man U, yeah.
Yeah,
because they're still number five right now in the league. So if they want to break into top four, they need to. Because other teams are not really losing that many points.
Shit, are you kidding me? All right, well, here's a team that's not losing any points. And it's your team, Arsenal, 3-2 against your boy. Is it Bob Bradley?
Bob Bradley.
It's our
boy. Why it's my boy?
I don't know. I just throw it on you.
Mm-hmm.
So Bob Bradley is... This is the first American coach to coach in the Premiership. And I also found out how he got this job. It's a little bit of American nepotism, because I didn't realize that an American ownership group owns Swansea.
Now they do.
So that's...
That's American spirit.
It kind of snuck in there.
Competitivism, yeah.
But if any American coach should have a chance at coaching in the Premiership, it should be Bob Bradley, because I think from watching him coach the U.S. that he does know how to coach. I just don't know if he's going to acclimate fast enough. Like this is crazy. Like, his first game is against Arsenal. Like, we should look up the rest of Swansea's schedule. But either way, he didn't start at the beginning of the season where he got to, like, train the players and put them into a system. Like, it's right in the middle of the beginning of the season. This is not going to be easy.
No, it's not going to be easy. What is easy is this Arsenal schedule right now, because I read it like a month ago. Somebody pointed out that they should win next six games, and it looks like they're doing that. They won four of them so far.
Right.
So their schedule is right now easy. It will be very tough second half of November and first half of December, where they'll play almost every contender, and then we'll see what they really are. Because we know they can play free-flowing football against top opposition. Against very not so good opposition, they should beat teams like Swansea, and they did. Even if, you know, after the red card for Xhaka, they had to defend this 3-2 lead, and Walcott missed. He scored two goals, kind of a sneaky goals, but that was good. But then he missed like three clear opportunities. So he was like a great Walcott in the first half, and typical annoying
typical Walcott. Typical Walcott, great
in
first half.
In second half.
You know, absent second half.
Yeah.
I like the goals. The first goal he scored, he muscled the guy off the ball, put the ball in it. The second goal he scored, the goalkeeper shoved his own defender down. He shoved both the defender and Walcott. The defender went down.
Polish goalkeeper.
Yeah. Good. Makes sense. And Walcott turns on him. And then
former Arsenal goalkeeper, as a matter of fact.
Yeah. And we see why Arsenal got rid of him. And then Ozil's goal was just bananas. You can't save those.
He's world class, and Sanchez plays well as a striker. He was very active. He actually helped with the goals. It looks like this guy Perez will not get any playing time if they continue to play like that with Ozil and Sanchez, and Giroud will not get playing time as well. But he's injured right now. But I mean, he will not get playing time because
Walcott keeps scoring.
If Walcott keeps scoring, however, you know, the second half was and they ran like Shearer said a very good thing when I asked him, is he a very good player? He said no. He's a good player. Shearer about Walcott. He's a good player, not a very good player.
Right, right.
Because they ran his stats for last 9 seasons. There was only one season he scored more than 10 goals. And if he's one of your main offensive players, he needs to score more than 10 goals per season. And
He's just an average player.
Yeah, he's scored 5 goals so far this season, you know, so he has a chance, but he needs to keep scoring, yeah.
I think Walcott is awake now. And that the realization that nothing is secure for him.
Yeah, and he's 27. He's a mature player.
Yeah, and he's like...
And he's prime, technically, should be.
So he's like, I have to do something now. So I think he was living on potential the first few years, which is a tragedy when you have that much skill. Like, you're just wasting time, and I think he's awake now. He's seen Jack Wilshere, who was one of England's greatest hopes, exported to Bournemouth, and he's like... And your coach doesn't trust you, and it's like... Yeah, man, I could be out of here, or I got to get my shit together. Yeah. And he didn't do great with England this weekend, but last weekend either. So
yeah, and that's so crazy. That he was at the 2006 World Cup. Mm-hmm. 10 years ago, he was at the World Cup, you know, and he was as this big hope that, you know, everybody's waiting to break in and be a star. And 10 years later, everybody's still waiting for him to become a star.
Still, I blame some of this on your boy, Wenger, because they got to take it easy on these practices, because half of that time he spent being injured too.
True, you know? And not just him; they're getting a lot of injuries.
It's
like nobody else in the Premier League is giving that much rest to his players as Wenger does. He didn't play like a couple of best players in the first game of the season because he says they're tired after Euros. So he gives rest to players, but there's still some error, some mistake. They're probably training too hard. Because nobody has as many injuries as Arsenal does.
Right.
So.
And he won't pull back off that.
Yeah. So, listen, Arsenal playing well, but they expect to win those games. Let's see what they can do against, you know, they were clearly worse than Liverpool. They got beaten fair and square by Liverpool. They should have lose to Leicester as well. Let's see what they can do against Spurs, against City, against United, against Chelsea.
No, let's see what they do with the next. Listen, don't act like the games that they should win don't count. If they win them, they win them. You know, they're tied at the top of the table, and it's good for them. And you said at the beginning of the year they wasn't going to finish in the top.
And they won. So I still think they won.
You still think they won't?
Top four now.
Yeah. All right, you're behind them. So good luck.
But I also thought that Man U would finish top four. So
yeah, you did. You did think.
So
that.
let's hope.
You think you
better hope I'll be right.
You're just showing the trend here. You're thinking a lot of wrong things. So, and I'm not saying, listen, it's going to be tough for Man U to finish top four. Like,
really?
Listen, look at the team, man. Look at the team.
That would be a huge disappointment if they don't.
Here's the issue with Man U. Mourinho doesn't completely trust himself. And that might leak down to the players. Because he's changing stuff a lot. He's second-guessing himself a lot. Like, a good coach just plays their system and they win. And if they lose a game, then they'll be like, we just lost that game and we just need to tighten some things, but we keep the main system. Like, this thing is changing on a week-to-two-week basis a lot. You feel me? And that's too much. This thing has to... In a few more games, he has to have this thing set about what he's going to do and then do it and ride it out.
No. The one guy who knows what he's doing, and he said it after the game during the press conference, Pep Guardiola, he said, I have a clear vision of football and I'll always play it no matter what. If people say it's a different league.
He does that.
Or different team. I'm going to do it, and if someone wants to, he's not on board, but that's what I'm going to do no matter what.
Are you trying to skip Bournemouth Hall?
No, we'll get. But I mean, let's talk about the contenders first.
Let's go. Is there one more game before? Why skip that? And then Bournemouth Hull. You give Bournemouth their props. Mm-hmm. They won 6-1. They dropped Real Madrid, Barca numbers on Hull, and
that's Hull.
And you know, hey man, what's the name of the Hull's coach again? I forgot. Phelan. Mike Phelan. You want to get a job, a permanent job coaching in the Premiership.
He actually got it before that game, yeah.
Welcome to your permanent job, 6-1, homie. Now, good luck.
Yeah, it's kind of funny, you know, Bournemouth won 6-1, and the you know, like everybody, like in Poland, because they have Polish goalkeeper, Bournemouth, Artur Borg, there was a big scandal last week.
You call that guy a goalkeeper?
Yeah, so that was a big scandal. There was a big. He's the third choice goalkeeper for Poland, but there was a big scandal last couple of days.
Who's he play for?
Bournemouth. Oh,
okay.
The main goalkeeper for Bournemouth, Artur Borg.
Oh, he's fine.
So that was his 36 years old third choice goalkeeper, but he was, you know, our goalkeeper at the World Cup 2006 and the Euros 2008. He used to be at his prime when he was playing for Celtic Glasgow, and then he played for Fiorentina. Now he's 36, and that's probably his last major team. So that was a big scandal in Poland after the qualification games because they barely beat Armenia.
Yeah.
And then the journalists found out that they were drinking a lot of alcohol and partying every day prior to the game against Armenia. And one of the guys, there were like two names popped out. There are probably more names, but the two names were singled out. It was Artur Borg from Bournemouth and Lukas Todorcik from Anderlecht. And then they played a league game. And he got beaten by Roger Mason. And I remember Mason from Tottenham. So if Mason scores, that's like the miracle. So I'm like, okay, so he's probably still drunk. but then they beat them 6-1, yeah.
But I don't understand. Isn't vodka your water in Poland?
Yeah, so but not before problem? Games, man. Not Doesn't before games. Plus, you know, the top players are not drinking alcohol at all. Lewandowski hates alcohol. He never drinks alcohol. Krychowiak never drinks alcohol. Glick drinks. Unfortunately, he drinks. And some other players like to drink, yeah.
It's very un-Polish.
And it was the number one topic in Poland for the last couple of days. And the one guy singled out, Boruk. And the funny thing about Boruk...
So who's going to complain about these players drinking? Like Polish people drinking in a bar? This is outrageous.
That's the irony of it,
This is outrageous. I can't believe these players are drinking. Give me another one, bartender.
Yeah.
I can't believe they're drinking... Before the game.
But they're playing poker and drinking in hotel until 7 in the morning. And one of the players, they say it was Teodorczyk from Anderlecht Brussels, he apparently vomited in the hallway. But now he scored a winning goal against Anderlecht right after that. So in the Belgian league.
It's the Belgian league. All right.
The funny thing about Boruk is that he was expelled from national team by two previous coaches for alcohol. He was expelled by Leo Benhacker in 2008 mm-hmm. for alcohol, and he was expelled
the keeper
by Smuda for drinking alcohol on the plane in 2011. So, but for Smuda, so it's the third coach of the national team that will probably suspend Boruk from alcohol.
Let me tell you something, man.
That's
everybody
bananas.
Everybody loves a fun drunk around. All right. And that goalkeeper is Poland's fun drunk.
Let me tell you this. I hope he'll drink before next game because they play Spurs next game. So I hope he drinks a lot on Friday night. Yeah. And actually, you know what? The game is 12:30 on Saturday. And he was known from having bad games when he plays at noon. People were even joking that you cannot play Boruk at noon because he's always drinking a night before. So let's hope. The last time they played the Spurs put four goals against Bournemouth, and he was at fault in three of them. So, listen, I'm Polish. I wish him well, but the next game,
please drink as much as possible. You don't wish him well, and you're optimistic
drink.
As hell.
Drink.
All right, let's go to Man U versus
Man
Everton.
City.
Man City versus mm-hmm. Everton, and this is a 1-1 tie. And you could see the look on Pep's face, man. He's beginning to realize. This is the thing. I don't think his system is bad. Like, what happened, what I said about Man City at the beginning of the season is coming true. He doesn't have the players to play his system. Like, he get rid of the goalkeeper that he didn't think could play his system, but it ain't the goalkeeper you need to get rid of the most. I guess it was important to get a goalkeeper you want. I still don't think he has a goalkeeper that he's satisfied with, but your team is not complete. This like for Pep's standard, these players, some of them, are below Pep's standard.
Especially fullbacks,
and that's catching up. That's I think that's Man City's only real issue. and they're doing fine. But, you know, it's a long-ass season.
Yeah, we complain after they drew a game in which they missed two penalties. I mean, they should have won that game, clearly.
True that.
And there was a one counterattack when Lukaku, by the way, what he did to Clichy was a football equivalent of rape. You know, like he destroyed Clichy on that play. I mean, he really
Lukaku's fast as shit.
Embarrassed him. He embarrassed Clichy. Like Clichy should have protected the ball. He just ran past him. He just ran past him. That's what happened.
But I think he's just faster than you expect. Like I didn't know he was that fast.
Yeah,
like,
he's fast.
Like Clichy is fast. If one thing Clichy is fast. And for Lukaku to be twice Clichy's size and faster than Clichy is fucking amazing. And he blew by him and put the ball past the keeper. And it's fucking amazing goal.
Yeah. Clichy, Kolarov, Sanya, you can play whoever you want. And I don't think any of those fullbacks is at the Pep's level. I think he'll try to get some fullbacks because...
And Otamendi playing centre-back.
Yeah.
That's not going to work.
No. Yeah. Only Stones is the only one with real potential to be a star there on this position.
So they have the same problems Pellegrini had.
And no Mangala, no.
Same problems, though.
Yeah, but same problems.
Yeah. And Kolarov, and what's his name, is another Sanya. Sanya. I'm just talking to age. Who's the other guy back there from Argentina?
Other guy from Argentina?
For Zabaleta.
Oh, Zabaleta. Yeah, forget about Zabaleta. He's barely playing.
They're just older. So it's they got issues, man. Got issues.
Yeah, Yaya Touré is not playing, as he said, Guardiola, that his agent has to apologize before he will step on the field, but it didn't happen.
Well, this is going to be funny, because you might need to apologize to Yaya Touré to put him in the game to make him play. Because here's the issue with Pep's team. Pep plays total football. That means your defenders give your midfielders good balls, right? Mm-hmm. And so that they can build up an attack. So where your attack starts is where your incomplete issue is. And so you're in trouble, dude. So stop this petty shit. Give Yaya Touré his props.
It's not going to happen. You know, Guardiola is proud. He's a proud man.
Well, you're gonna have some issues. Because Yaya could at least be playing defense. He played defense for Barca. He'd be better as a defender than some of the dudes, than Otamendi.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, they play Barca on Wednesday.
Well, on Wednesday.
That will be a big game for them. Yeah. That will show where they are. Because Koeman was very... First of all, him and Guardiola are close friends. They were roommates together. Yeah. When they were at Barcelona, they were roommates.
They won... Four titles.
Four titles. They won Champions League. By the way, Koeman scored the winning goal. And Guardiola was this up-and-coming playmaker who was already creating some flashes. I mean, he won 1992 Olympics gold medal with Spain. And at the same time, Barcelona won the Champions League with Koeman and Guardiola. So they were Koeman was the older one. Guardiola was master and... So the Koeman was the older one, giving him advices, bringing him to the... To the world of football, and Guardiola was his like the apprentice. So he was the apprentice. But they stayed close friends, and then Koeman paid him a huge compliment after the game, saying that was the best team he ever coached against. And knowing that Koeman works for last 12 years on a top level, he was coach of Ajax, he was coach of Valencia, he's coached now in England for 4 years. That's a little bit too much, you know, because he played against Barcelona, great Barcelona, as a coach at Valencia, with Ajax in Champions League against the best teams in 2004, 2005, 2006.
I think Koeman was just happy they got a point.
Yeah.
And Koeman is also inflating that point by saying this is the best team he ever coached against.
Yeah, but basically he was wrong, you know.
Yeah.
It's not.
It's not true. I don't know.
And I like one guy for he finally got a start from Guardiola. I like Sané. Yeah, Sané was active in the first half, and he creates some havoc, and maybe even should have been another penalty on him, maybe, you know?
A penalty he created?
Yeah.
Right. I like him. He's kind of, he slows the game down to his pace when he gets the ball. You got a fly in here, Martin. This motherfucker's jumping on me.
Yeah, I know. I'll kill the fly after the podcast.
Give him a drink. And he slows the game down to his pace. He got substituted for Nolito, I think, right? And Nolito eventually scored. And Silva, you know, just always doing something, man. Gets the ball to him. And De Bruyne was off.
Yeah.
You know.
He's still not 100%.
Yeah, he's a little off. And he blew the first penalty. And Sergio Aguero was on the bench going, I'm glad that wasn't me. Then he comes on.
he already blew four penalties this season. Yeah.
Yeah. He usually makes up for them in regular goals, but he didn't get a chance to do that this game.
Jagielka, he was the happiest man, probably the luckiest man on the Everton side, because he fouled in for both penalties.
3 years ago, you don't cause two penalties and stay on the field. This guy caused two penalties, stayed on the field, and none of the penalties scored. Like no cards.
Yeah.
No cards.
Yeah, so he was probably the happiest guy because he made two terrible mistakes which were not punished. Mm-hmm. Still, Everton, solid team. Listen, they're number six right now. They're in front of Man U.
Yeah, that's not a real number seven. They'll go down. Come on. They got holes. They got flaws. That I look at that on paper. It's not. They ain't Leicester from this year. Stoke Sunderland. Stoke wins 2-0.
Joe Allen, one of the best buys of the summer.
I can't believe Liverpool sold. Remember I said that? Also, when I think about the Euros, had so many stars in it, this guy stood out to me.
He did. He stood out for Swansea. He's playing for Swansea before he went to Liverpool. It was Rodgers who brought him over to Liverpool because he went the same path for Swansea than Liverpool. So he just took him with him. Mm-hmm. Allen was arguably the second best player for Swansea at the time, and now we see why. If you give him a little bit of freedom, if you put him behind a striker, Walters was playing in this position before. Now it's Allen. It's a clear difference.
Yeah, and I think the key is to let him do what he wants to do.
Yeah,
and he'll instinctually get places that he needs to be at. Let him free. And so I can't believe Liverpool. You said the coach of Stoke. Who is that again? I don't know.
No, it's Brendan Rodgers. He built him up at Swansea. Then they paid heavy dollar
then he
for
him.
Took
him to Liverpool.
Yeah, and okay. And Liverpool didn't kind of work out.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, because he's not a Klopp guy and Klopp got rid of him.
Yeah, but it didn't even work out even when Rodgers was there. He wasn't the same. Like, he wasn't playing very, very well. He was criticized.
All right. But yeah, man, he scored against Man U, fucker, and he scored two this week, and he's got more goals than Arnautovic.
Yeah, Sunderland 2 points in 8 games. Listen, you know, Sam Allardyce is available.
It doesn't matter. Nobody is gonna make this better. Their personnel sucks. Like, I was looking at their players, and it's like, this is not Moyes' fault. This is a Sunderland's fault. You know, this problem was here before. You fired the coach before Moyes. And Moyes is getting same result.
Allardyce left for England job, obviously.
Right.
Yeah.
But
he's now free. He can take them.
But Sunderland wasn't doing great the year before. You know, it's like...
Yeah. Gustavo Poyet, who saved them 2 years ago.
But they gave Allardyce the job because they fired the coach before Allardyce, right?
Yeah, Gustavo Poyet. And I'm just mentioning
That's what I'm saying.
He made a comment a couple of days ago saying that they're a complete mess and they need to make changes on the higher level than the coach.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying.
To stay afloat, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. And then so you fire Poyet, then you hire Allardyce, and then England job saved Allardyce this 2 points out of 8-game record, and then Allardyce fucked that up himself, and then now Moyes is in this position, and this ain't going to get better. Your best scorer is 34, 35 years old. How old is...
36.
I underaged him. Mm-hmm. And when you look all over the field in all the positions, there's old Man U players 5 years past their prime.
Yeah.
It's like...
I remember 2000.
We're lucky it was only 2-0. Stoke is lucky. Sunderland's lucky. Fans are lucky. Stoke only scored two.
Yeah, I remember 2003. I was covering Poland against England, and Jermaine Defoe scored a goal for England. It was almost 14 years ago.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. Like this got to be the oldest team in the league. Like,
and
Walters had gray hair.
Yeah, but he plays for Stoke.
Well, my bad. So you got Defoe, I got to go through the lineup. Hold on. I mean,
they're just very average, you know. They're very average team.
No, they're below. Average is giving them too much. Average is giving them too much. Did I click
just,
on
just
that?
Just no talent. But I think they'll fire Moyes. I don't think they'll keep him.
Ain't his fault. You're still going to have the same problems. Defoe, right?
Yeah.
Charlie Adams, right?
Charlie Adams plays for Stoke, too.
Oh, my bad. What am I doing this week? Where the fucking lineup at? I'm just
But there's no talent on the team. I mean, they didn't bring anybody really good. I mean,
I just want to prove it.
They tried.
Oh, here it is.
John O'Shea, yeah.
John O'Shea. I don't know why I couldn't remember.
Ten years ago, he was good.
10 years ago,
yeah,
was good. 10 years.
Rodwell is not good enough for City. Then you have players who are just not really that great. However, Pickford.
That's the only good thing.
Apparently, Guardiola wants him as number two at City. Wants to buy him.
And Sunderland will sell him. The best thing they got, they will sell him.
Yeah.
So
apparently, that's a rumor that Guardiola wants to spend big money on Bellerin, and he wants to steal him from Arsenal for big money. Yeah, there's no one here.
Anichebe,
Pienaar, Steven Pienaar. He played against Spurs in the starting lineup. Steven Pienaar also.
That's
he was
crazy.
Good 10 years ago. Yeah.
That's crazy, Steven Pienaar. That is just so fucking crazy, man.
Yeah, Didier Ndong. Jack Rodwell wasn't good enough for City. I remember him. Billy Jones. Yeah.
Nobody's
there.
I'm speechless. It's
a championship team.
If you hate Moyes, it's a championship team.
It's like Aston Villa last year.
10 years ago.
Yeah.
Like you got to put these players back in the time machine to get any quality out of them.
Yeah.
Sorry, I couldn't remember the names.
Yeah, they're going down. They're going down.
It's just so old.
They're going down.
I couldn't remember.
They are going down, my friend. No way out of it this year. I don't see that happening. Right. The Great Escape will not happen this time.
They said that about Leicester.
Yeah, but listen, Leicester has some
Palace.
Players.
All right. So West Brom versus Tottenham Hotspur. Talk about, disappointments. Mark.
No, I'm not disappointed. I was
Why
saying
not?
That on the podcast in my prognosis, they expect a draw. Listen, we always it's one of our it's one team we don't like to play because that style of play is we have problems forcing the defense. It's just one team that they usually get points from us. Historically, everybody has this team. Like for let's say for United, I think
there's several teams we got like that. Don't worry about it.
I think it's either Sunderland or Stoke. One of those two teams. Where usually, you struggle against. But for us, it's West Brom. We didn't beat them last year. We didn't beat them this year. We had like advantage of six 600 passes versus 220 in the entire game. Possession 71%. We had four chances created. They parked the bus completely. It was like 10 behind the ball. They parked the bus completely.
You
first
knew that,
off.
Though.
Yeah, I knew that. And they were. We're playing well. We're passing the ball well. We created four chances. Foster was unbelievable.
Four chances is not a lot, man.
Against the team that plays 10 guys behind the ball, it's a lot because
it feels like
we score one
more.
Goal. No, but you know that if you score one goal
you
against the team.
You had eight shots on goal.
Yeah. Because it was hard to force through that.
Yeah,
through
20.
That defense
yeah, 20
line.
Shots. So I think you're underestimating your game stats. Yeah, 20 shots, eight of them on goal.
71% over 71% possession. Passes 600 against 220. It's crazy. So those are crazy stats. And listen, and we didn't score the goal. Unfortunately, there are two players that are really, really annoying me. One is Janssen, obviously. The other one is Lamela.
I like Janssen, man. He's great for you guys.
Buy him. I would love to switch him for Rashford.
He's
give
great.
Me Rashford,
he's
I'll
great.
Give you Janssen.
He's great for you guys because he doesn't deliver. So that's why I like him. But I did like
He didn't.
Everything goes through Sun, man.
Yeah, but he didn't play until 75th minute.
And that's when you guys scored, when he came
after
on.
His play,
after
his
play, after he made the play.
And then he made another play when Janssen should have scored for 2-1.
But, I don't know what Pochettino is doing. Everything runs through Sun. We know this.
Okay, here's what he's trying to do, and he said it before a game. He's trying to rotate the squad because we play four games in 10 days and some tough games too. We play Leverkusen in the Champions League tomorrow. So he tried to rotate the squad. He tried to see if Janssen can play as a lone striker, and he got the answer.
I could have told him that based off the last few weeks that Janssen came. You could have told him that.
Yeah, he didn't score a single goal so far. I'm really worried. I could see some of his qualities. He's good with protecting the ball with the back to the goal, so they could possibly play off him.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say try to put a striker in front of him, like someone who can finish off him holding the ball back to the goal.
So you bought a striker to put a striker in front of the striker.
Yeah.
Okay.
It didn't work out. Ali is getting back to his form. That's a plus. Son is really in good form. And that's a plus. Wanyama is really great by. He's really paying off. He's really, really strong. He's probably the best player in his position in the Premier League so far this season. And they only paid 10 mil for him, you know?
It's one thing I can the one thing I can say about you, you never exaggerate. Anyway, listen.
Stats-wise, yeah, Wanyama is the best defensive midfielder of the season so far, by far.
I don't think so.
96% of passing accuracy. He's great with interceptions. He's great in controlling. He's so far better than Kante in being Kante.
That's not true. No, ain't nobody going to trade a Kante for a goddamn Wanyama.
Well, we'll see.
So let's get out of here. So, but one thing, you know, you were shitting on Jansen, and there is one thing he's consistently good at, and that's not scoring.
Not scoring.
So he's killing the game in that. Your boy's killing the game in that.
But that's a good point. I mean, this is a very tough field to play on. Chadli scored the one goal, and he didn't celebrate, so props to him. Alderweireld got injured, but it looks like it's not a major injury. It looked very, very scary at the time, but Pochettino today, he said it's nothing major, so he'll maybe miss one or two games, that's it. And it would be a bummer if he did more, because him and Vertonghen are not only the best centre-back pair in Premier League, they're the best centre-back duo in the world currently. They're the best centre-back duo in the world.
Says who? You.
Yeah.
And they let you write for 4-4-2. All right.
They are. I mean, the stats prove it too. You know, they conceded the least number of goals in the entire Premier League.
You know what I got to give you props for? Like, last week when we were making predictions about the game, you said, you know, this could be a revenge game for Chadli. And Chadli did score the first goal of the game. So I'll give you props for that.
Everything and I said it would be a draw, too. That's what I said as well.
Yeah, you might have said that, too. I can't remember. Yeah. I can't even remember the predictions I
said
made.
It because they knew it. They always draw against West Bromwich. Every time they play them, it's a draw.
Right. And, hey, man, this is why you're not going to win the title.
In
order to change, to win the title, something you never did before, you have to do things that you normally don't do. And that's beat West Brom.
And here where you're wrong, and I'll defend my point. Let me finish it. Here's where you're wrong, because the Spurs from last year would have lost that game.
I'm listening.
Because we're controlling the game. Then they had one chance and they scored a goal. And the team from last year would have lost that game.
The team from last year has done best.
Let me finish. They're unbeaten in the
ever.
League. They're unbeaten in the league. It's the only team in the league that is unbeaten team.
Doesn't matter. You drop more points.
No, we're not dropped that much points. We're 1 point behind the City. So let me tell you, we're one point behind the leaders of the table. So how is it bad?
There's two teams ahead of you that have lost games and they're ahead
one
of you.
One point.
So not losing one point is not a big deal.
1 point. Here's why I like that draw. Because again, we made one big improvement comparing to last year. We play our game. We dictate the tempo. If things get wrong, we don't panic, but we make it right. We made it against Liverpool, against Everton, and now against West Brom. We conceded a goal. We fought back, got the point. This is a great skill to have. That shows there is a winning mentality in this team. That shows they're a tough bunch of people and players, and they will be fighting till the end, and that's a very, very good side, because last year we were drawing games we were supposed to win. Now we're drawing games we're supposed to lose. You know, we're getting wins in the game we're supposed to draw. So we are actually showing that quality at the end, and that's good. Yeah, that's a good sign. I expected them. Listen, I think a lot of other teams will concede points and holders. It's a tough team, the tough place to play. You lost at Watford, you know. We drew at West Brom. We got ourselves back into the game, even if the circumstances were harsh.
I admit that we fucked up. You're not admitting that
you
fucked up.
Yeah, we didn't.
You know, you're not admitting that you fucked
up. We
got
a valid point. This is a tough place
to play. You're talking up this one point. Motherfucker, it's West Brom, okay? It's West Brom.
Yeah, but they're tough to play at home. They're tough.
Fuck that. If you're going to win a championship, you got to beat them. It's West Brom. Don't talk up this one point. We just went to fucking Liverpool, the derby, and I'm not talking it up like you're talking this one up. This is bullshit, man. If you guys are going to win this league, you got to win this.
This is a tough place to play, and I get this point as it's a plus. The next game, though, I expect to win at Bournemouth. Like, Bournemouth we usually beat, you know, so I expect the next game at Bournemouth. Technically,
Bournemouth usually beat. They only been in the league 2 years.
Yeah, but I think we match them much better than West Brom. So I expect them to win at Bournemouth. I'm saying that right now. I expect them to win at Bournemouth. If they draw at Bournemouth, that will be not a good result. But against West Brom, who are all our kind of nemesis, they're like the one team we don't match up that great with. They are always giving us problems.
I've never heard somebody talk so much about 1 point. Let's move on, man.
All right.
This is just one shitty point.
No, it's not a shitty point. It's a good point. I like it.
Hilarious. So, goddamn West Ham versus Crystal Palace. West Ham 1-1, nothing. Finally.
Yeah, finally, you know, that's all I gotta say. Harsh red card for Creswell, shouldn't get one, so they deserve to win, and they won.
And Bentaki fucked up. How about
that? Oh, yeah, terrible penalty. The worst penalty I've seen in months.
You think there's so many bad penalties this weekend, period, even in the Italian league.
Yeah, yeah.
And last week, the week before, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it's the worst penalty. He made the goalkeeper go the wrong way. He just went a little wide. Plus, it was streaming down rain. It's a bad penalty. I don't think it's the worst one I've seen, you know.
One of the worst.
Yeah. Middlesbrough, Watford.
I'm glad, you know, Watford are showing they're like mid of the table team and they're proving it. Middlesbrough, listen, you know, like they're on paper they should be the best out of three teams that get qualified, but they have issues, you know, and they started losing games at home and they lost a couple of them and they might be in trouble if they continue that trend.
It's a quality goal that Watford put in.
Yeah.
And quality goal, left foot, screamer past the keeper, great angle. And, hey, Watford, look out for Watford is just problems, man. They can just cause you problems. And they parked the bus, too. They literally parked the bus, but they got the point out of this. And I just think Middlesbrough had, like, beginner's luck in the beginning of the season, and now it's like Premiership time.
Yeah, they have Negredo who helped City to win the title, and then he went to Spain, and then he came back.
It's not that great, man.
He scored some goals, but not recently, yeah.
It's not that great. And Southampton versus Burnley.
It's funny, because everybody keeps saying that Southampton will get relegated. At Southampton,
who
you know,
said that?
I mean, for last 4 years, like first Pochettino built a strong team, and then he left, and other players left, and everybody was saying, "Oh, now they're gonna get relegated," you know, because they sold like 5-6 players. Then Koeman came, and he actually got them even better. You know, they finished 7th and 6th. Koeman left, more players left, including Pelle, their best player of last year, and they're still winning. With a new coach.
First of all, they had
Claude Puel.
Yeah. First of all, they got the academy. They got a good coach.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll never run out of players like other teams do when they sell. You know what I mean? They won't be Aston Villa. They won't be Newcastle. They won't be so far, and they won't be Sunderland. You know, just you know they can always find. Mm-hmm. Diamonds.
Listen.
Or semi-diamonds in the rough. But yeah, Southampton, even you were like telling me that they weren't going to be that great and that you told me why and looking at the last
keep surprising
few games,
people, man.
They keep winning.
Redmond, they got from Norwich, he's a really good player. People are saying that he should be called for England and he probably will for the next couple of games.
Yeah, I wouldn't do it.
And
he was good, but it was against Burnley. Like
he had some good games this season already. A couple of them,
yeah,
at least.
No, they're still not. Like, come on. Yeah. Play for England quality games?
Listen,
that's a sign of a desperate national team.
Who's better, Redmond, Walcott? It's hard to say. Sturridge, you know?
Walcott is. And Sturridge needs to be on a bench somewhere. No question. And then the same person's telling you that this guy is not good enough.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's not good enough. Show me more.
All right. Let's read the table.
All right, so let's read the table. So Man City is number one with 19 points. Arsenal is number two, same amount of points. They just have one less goal in goal difference. Spurs, hurts me to say, they're number three with 18 points. Liverpool is in their ass. They're number four with 17 points. Chelsea is number five with 16 points. Everton is... fucking derby rivals are ahead of Man U. They're number six, 15 points. Man U is right behind them, number seven, 14 points. Southampton is eight with 12 points. Crystal Palace is ninth with 11 points. Watford is 10th with 11 points. Bournemouth is 11th with 11 points. Exactly. Hilarious. West Brom is 12th with 10 points. Leicester is 13th with 8 points. Burnley is 14th with 7 points. West Ham is 15th with 7 points. Not a good look at all. Hull is 16th with 7 points. Middlesbrough is 17th with 6 points. Stoke is 18th with 6 points. Swansea is 19th with 4 points. And Sunderland is 20th with 2 points. You think Swansea will go down under Bob Bradley?
We'll see in the next couple of games.
Right. So jazz. So should we look at what the Champions League games coming up?
Yeah, we can just mention a little bit about Spain. Big win from both Barcelona and Real Madrid, but Atletico is top of the table right now, so.
All right.
So that's what's up.
All right. I'm gonna punch in some.
But we should do predictions for Premier League too.
Yeah, we should. All right, so let's do that, and then we'll go to Champions League. So, fixtures. Coming up.
Yep. First game.
Bournemouth Spurs.
12:30 Saturday. Boruk playing for Bournemouth. I expect another poor performance from Bournemouth's goalkeeper. I think
he
we
didn't have
matched
a poor performance this week.
No, he scored. They scored only one goal against.
It was
him.
A ricochet. No keeper probably could have saved that.
I think Spurs match up well against Bournemouth because Bournemouth tried to play attacking style, which plays up to our strengths because we're much better in passing games. So I expect us to win this game, yeah.
I'm going to go Bournemouth.
All right.
Yeah, Bournemouth for the win because that's what I want. I want to sit next to a losing Martin.
Didn't happen this season so far.
It's not so far, but like 1 point is not great. You know what I'm saying?
It's a great point.
It's not great. It's great if you're Spurs and you never won before. And here's one thing about here's the bad thing about Man U. We were happy for the point. We were happy for the point because we know that Liverpool is a better team than us. So going to Liverpool and getting 1 point is kind of a victory. And that's what's bad about Man U, because we don't think and we know we're not better than Liverpool. So it's like we feel like we stole a point. And that means our team's mentality is upside down. And it's like when you own a house and it's upside down, you owe more for it than it's worth. And that's the problem with Man U. So Arsenal, Middlesbrough.
Yeah, Arsenal will win this game. Yeah. That's the easy schedule for them.
Yeah, okay. Burnley, Everton.
Huh, that's a tricky one because Burnley are dangerous at home. Everton started the season very, very well. They're number six right now. And I think a draw.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Everton. Hull, Stoke.
Listen, Hull are a complete mess at the moment. Will they stop the bleeding? I think Stoke are playing much better now than they did in the last couple of games of the season. They got a point at Man U, and now they beat Sunderland fair and square. Allen is on fire. I think they'll win this game.
I call this a tie. Leicester, Crystal Palace?
I think it'll be a tie.
Yeah?
Yeah. Leicester are not impressive at all.
Yeah.
Crystal Palace have players who can score. I would say a tie.
I say a tie too. Swansea, Watford?
Listen, if there is a game for them, they have to win to get some points and drop off the and just advance from the relegation zone. And they have to beat teams like Watford at home. So I call it a Swansea.
I say tie. Because Watford is just a pain in the ass. They might actually just win the whole thing.
They might. So not the whole thing, but the game.
I mean that game, yeah. The whole game, the whole 90 minutes and plus. So I'll give Swansea a tie. And West Ham versus Sunderland?
Yeah, I mean, West Ham has to win this. You know, there's no point. When you have a guy like Payet and you play those guys who are on the Sunderland team, you just tear them apart. And Payet didn't have a single, like, huge game this year. He had a couple of them, at least, like, 5-6 great games last season. So it's time for Payet to be the maestro and win the game for West Ham.
You know what's funny about this game? This is actually one of Sunderland's few chances this year to get a point.
Is it?
Yeah, because West Ham ain't playing great. They won this week, but it was like 1-0.
Yeah. But they're just so bad, Sunderland. I think West Ham is much better.
And they're lucky Benteke missed the... Who did West Ham play this week?
Crystal Palace.
So the lucky best Benteke missed a penalty. That's the only reason why they got 3 points this week. So this is as good as a chance for Sunderland to win this game as it is for West Ham to win this game. Like they both, West Ham should be looking at Sunderland like they're Sunderland, and Sunderland should be looking at West Ham as if they're playing Sunderland this week. West Ham is just as shitty. This win doesn't get them out of the cellar because it could have just been 1 point or less. They could have lost it. So
yeah,
I say tie.
Okay. Next one.
And Liverpool, West Brom. I give it to Liverpool. I give it to Liverpool. My bad.
Yeah, West Brom. There are two different teams: West Brom away and West Brom at home. And I think that's a big advantage for Liverpool that they're at home and they'll beat them.
Yeah, I think Liverpool would know how to deal with this team.
However. Mm-hmm. However, let me tell you this. Tony Pulis is a very smart coach.
Yeah, he is.
He's a very smart coach. And he saw the blueprint of what Mourinho did against Liverpool. He might park a bus even more than Mourinho did, and that might actually work for
him. First of all, if you keep saying park the bus, and like if he analyzes the Liverpool-Man U game the way you analyze it and does that, he'll lose because that's not what they did. You know, like, first of all, West Brom already parks the bus, so that's literally what they do.
Yeah.
So there's nothing. We attacked Liverpool at their strengths.
Listen, I changed my prediction. I say a draw. Park the bus and they'll succeed.
I say Liverpool wins.
Okay.
Yeah. I say Liverpool wins.
I'm high on West Brom. I think West Brom is a good team.
because they took a point from you. They only gave you a point. You're hilarious. You're going to try to raise their profile to make your point worth more.
That's a great point.
Thank you. Man City versus Southampton. This team that's not as bad as people thought it would be.
Yeah, listen, Man City didn't win three games in a row now, and probably it will be four when they see Southampton, because I don't see them beating Barca. So they have to win against Southampton. If they don't win four games in a row, they have to win this one, and I think they will.
So you said Man City?
Yeah.
I give it Man City, too. And the game of the week. Again, Man U's involved in the game of the week. Is Man U versus Chelsea?
Yeah, it looks like the game of the week, you know. However, Bournemouth Spurs is a close second. Just kidding. But listen, you know, the heart is telling me it's going to be a draw because there is a Mourinho factor and he will be very motivated for this one. So I would say a draw, yeah.
Yeah, because he'll play for the draw. He don't want to lose. They didn't want to lose against Liverpool. They'll play similar. First of all, they played Liverpool the way Liverpool played Chelsea and beat Chelsea, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he'll go with that and take a tie. And if we can eke out a 1-0 or something, they'll take it. So I go tie.
Do you think that Fabregas can... Because he's apparently still in touch with Mourinho. They're like on good terms. Do you think he'll rat things out of the game plan for Mourinho? Because he hates Conte right now. They're clearly not on the same page, you know? So he might be like, hey, Jose,
I'll help you. I hope he wouldn't do that. But Chelsea's game plan basically is what Chelsea's game plan is, you know? You know what's funny about the league when watching the lineups for most teams this week? Like, has there ever been in the history of football more people playing three at the back?
Like, they tried it, and they pushed Alonso to midfield. Alonso played as a right midfielder in this game instead of right back because they played three in the back. And
But a lot of other teams are doing it too.
Not really. They play it's not really three. They play five in the back.
It's a
fake three, but he plays actual three, you know.
Yeah.
But I don't think he will do it against United because you have to cover Ibrahimovic. You can't cover Ibrahimovic with David Luiz. It's not going to work, you know. And then you will have probably a guy like Rashford on the flank. So I think he'll play four in this game. Or he will play with fire if he plays three. And Luiz, one of them, that will be playing with fire.
All right. Let me keep talking and let me try to find the lineups for the UEFA Championship games this week.
So yeah, definitely a huge test. You know, if I'm Mourinho, like people already criticizing him that they're number seven in the table, they're only won half of the games out of eight. They won only four so far. So there are already people criticizing. I think this point is actually a good point against Liverpool. If they can kind of get another, that will be still a good point. So if they don't lose against Chelsea, it's a plus.
We don't lose against Chelsea, but it'd be fucked up like so many three draws in a row in the Premiership. It's not a good look.
Yeah, you should. Yeah, those points against Liverpool away and Chelsea away are good, only if you can beat teams like Watford and Stoke.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. If we'd have had those, then it would look better. Resume would look way better. So, show you this. So, do we care about Leicester versus CSKA Moscow?
No, they play Copenhagen actually.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, I mean Leicester win third game in a row and they will qualify
to
the next round.
Is it Copenhagen or Copenhagen?
Copenhagen, yeah.
Yeah. So we don't care about that. Real Madrid
Against Legia Warsaw, they will play finally a good team this season in Legia Warsaw. No, the journalists in Poland are panicking. They're saying it might be more than 10-0, actually, this game.
All right,
might be more than 10-0.
I want to agree. One of the few times I want to agree with Sporting versus Dortmund on Tuesday.
That's an interesting game. I think Dortmund will win it, but Sporting are a dangerous team, but they will finish third in the group.
Dortmund had like 3 draws in the Bundesliga so far, at least 2.
A couple injuries.
And they have some injuries. So you think the teams that they tied them in the Bundesliga are better than Sporting?
Could be. You know, Sporting keeps selling players. They have a lot of young talent, though. A draw or Borussia will win. I don't think Borussia is a very good team, so I think Borussia will find a way.
All right. We don't fuck Sevilla. CSKA Moscow, Monaco. Do we even want to talk about that? We should just go. Monaco's better. And Lyon versus Juventus. Juventus is better. This is a decent game. Bayer Leverkusen versus Tottenham.
Yeah, you know, Son came from Leverkusen to Tottenham, so it's an emotional game for him. He does the first game he faces the team he played 2 seasons for. Mm-hmm. So it's a perfect game for Son again to win for Tottenham.
This is not a great Tuesday slate of games. This is not like there's no game here like I gotta watch this.
Real Madrid Legia Warsaw.
This is crazy. This is a crazy Tuesday. It's like it's watered down.
Yeah.
So Wednesday's games. Now, first game straight off the bat, Barca versus Man City. That's a must-watch game.
Yep.
It's must-watch for so many reasons. Like, Barca have been champions. City have been champions of the British League. Then you have Barca's ex-coach. They're probably their best coach ever. Coaching against his old team. I don't even know if Messi's playing, but
he'll be playing, I think.
He's right. So this... The first game right off the bat just grabs you.
Yeah, they signed Mascherano for 2 more seasons, which I'm not sure if that's a good move because he was not really good in the games they didn't win. He was actually one of the worst players, and it looks like Busquets might be deporting to City, and they're trying to get defensive midfielder, and they're thinking Kante as a guy.
Who's trying to get who?
There is a rumor that Barcelona will let Busquets go to City and will try to bring Kante.
All right.
For like a lot of money. A lot of money.
How are they going to get Kante from Chelsea?
Because he's not happy there, apparently.
All right. Okay.
That's what his coach from Caen, the team... He played for before he went to Leicester, said in French media that Kante wants to go to Barcelona. And that Barcelona is willing to spend like 70 mil for him.
Yeah, Barcelona needs a Kante. They do.
Yeah, Busquets is not playing very well. And I think Guardiola still thinks that he can give him his second life. And he wanted to bring him over even before the start of the season. And he doesn't need Yaya Toure, but he doesn't have anybody to replace Yaya Toure on this roster. And Busquets is the guy who could replace Yaya Toure.
I got an idea. Guardiola play Yaya Toure.
Yeah, but he said it. He officially said it that he will not play Yaya Toure until his agent apologizes publicly.
That just means he's never going to play Yaya Toure.
Yeah, he's never
going
to play him.
Never going to play him.
He's not even registered for Champions League.
You said that knowing the coach wouldn't apologize. The manager's not going to apologize. And you said that because you want to disguise the fact that this is about your issue. Non-issue with another guy. Just stop fucking around. Nobody's
but you know that he's not even registered for Champions League. He can't even play. Even if he wanted to play him, he couldn't.
Yeah, I know. But, now they're paying. And now they're paying in the Premiership. You're going to need a Yaya Toure, man. You're going to need a Yaya Toure. There's Napoli. Besiktas,
Champions of Turkey,
Yeah, I can't. I can say it in my head, but I can't say it out loud. I'm not even going to cover this game. Mm-hmm. Arsenal versus... Lodogretz.
Yeah, Champions of Bulgaria.
Yeah, like, come on. FC Rostov versus Atletico Madrid.
Yeah.
It's like Dynamo Kiev versus Benfica.
Not a great one, no.
PSG versus FC Basel.
And the not really good Basel team. They used to be much better than they are right now.
Yeah, Cavani should get
some
more goals.
They actually kicked out Man U in the last Ferguson season from the Champions League.
I get it, homie. That's all you got? We also won the league that season, too. and Spurs was below us. Right. You want to go back in history? We could do that.
I don't remember last 3 years. Yeah. Let's go. Celtic, Mönchengladbach.
Mönchengladbach.
Mönchengladbach is much better. They should win.
Well, you know what? This, for the first time in a long time, I want to see a Celtic game because of what they how they handled
City
last week, and they created the blueprint for after Celtic played City. City's been having nothing but trouble.
Yeah, they didn't win a game since.
Yeah, haven't won a game since.
Three games without win. So, and it will be four because they're not going to win at Barcelona.
Wow. So you guys out there, go check out this Celtic Mönchengladbach game. Celtic, Brendan Rodgers, you know, can coach. And so probably the only other game besides the Barcelona-Man City game. And it's still...
No, PSV is just the name right now.
PSV versus Munich. Yeah. Bayern Munich. So, but, you know, the only game to watch the whole fucking Champions League 2 days is Barcelona City on Wednesday at 11:45.
Mighty Legia Warsaw at Real Madrid.
So it's going to keep going. Just going to keep going and ignore that. And what did we forget to do something with the Premiership?
We did everything. I just want to say one thing, a funny thing about Legia Real Madrid. You know that there are so many fans in Poland that they were very happy that Legia will play Real Madrid. You know that people are posting like this is the game of the century in Poland, and because of what hooligans did, they were saying some anti-German stuff and some vulgar stuff.
Anti-German?
Anti-German, you know. And there were some fights in the game against Borussia Dortmund. UEFA decided to close the stadium for the Real Madrid game, so the stadium will be actually empty, and no one will be able to see Real Madrid in Poland. It's a shame, it's a disaster, it's a complete humiliation, but that's what's happening, because next game will be Real Madrid at Legia Warsaw, and it will be not allowed, the public will be not allowed for the game. So this is a total disaster, because Real Madrid didn't play in Poland for 20 years, and they finally are coming. For the first time ever, they'll play Champions League game in Poland, and no one will see it.
Hilarious. Great job out there.
Yeah.
You got anything you want to plug?
Absolutely. Friday.
I feel like we forgot something.
No. We just didn't talk that much about other leagues. That's it.
All right. Okay. All right, go ahead.
So, yeah, every Friday, 7:30, yeah, you can find me at the Comedy Store with a lot of funny people. I'm hosting the show. I'm enjoying that. There will be a couple of friends of mine, like this Friday, Dan Sunderman, Amir Kay, Nick Youssef, and a few other people I have to remember.
All right, and this is what I got coming up. I got Laughing Skull in Atlanta. I'll be there November 10th through the 13th. That's around 6 shows. It'll be fun weekend to come out. Check me out if you're out there. And also, after that, the weekend after that, I'll be at Harrah's Resort in Atlantic City on November 17th. I think I'll be in their concert hall doing stand-up performance. So come check that out. Thanks for listening. Love each other. Have a good week. Martin, have a bad Spurs week. And
it will be a good one. Keep drinking, Arthur Borg. I'm going to say that. Please drink. This Friday is a great day to go out.
You need a man to ruin his kidney just so that your team could...
He already did like 5 years ago.
Could almost win. Yeah. All right. All right. Have a good one, y'all. Thanks.